flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to your phone calls momentarily. 617-779-7937. That was Phil Perry yesterday before the game.
That's right,
kickoff.
Pregame action.
And I'll give Phil credit. Phil, late last week on Early Edition, was saying that exact thing. He was getting a sense from people he talked to in the building that there was a shift. And he said it before kickoff yesterday, there's a shift. I can't imagine they would move on from Jerod Mayo if they didn't have the replacement already lined up. He went into detail there on Mike Vrabel. That to me makes sense, Keith. You don't fire Mayo if you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
I don't love that approach, but I believe that to be the case for them. I think
they knew what they were doing when they fired Belichick, and that worked out so well for them.
Yeah, I don't. I would go through a real process.
I hope so.
Really interview Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen. I mean, throw Kevin O'Connell's name out there. It's probably just a leverage play.
Right? Yeah.
but Glazer said yesterday teams are monitoring the Kevin O'Connell situation. Give that guy a call.
Definitely.
He's won 14. I mean, it looked terrible last night, but he won 14 games with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
You love O'Connell.
I do.
So, like, go through a real process. But I believe what Phil just said. They wouldn't fire Mayo and embarrass Kraft in the way he's being embarrassed if they didn't have the next guy lined up. I agree with that. I wouldn't do that. I don't think it's the right move, but I agree that's how they're operating.
Yeah, I just feel like one sham process into another sham process is not what's best for business. Even though this guy is more of a known commodity. He coached the Titans for several years. He was a coordinator prior to that. So way more experienced than Jerod Mayo at this time last year. But still, like, open the doors up a little bit. Let's see what you have. Last year, you look at the two different processes they had for interviewing key spots. Head coach, no interviews, just Mayo. Offensive coordinator, 13 interviews land on a guy who may or may not be back, right? The reports are, like, right now he's here, but Alex Van Pelt I'm talking about. But you can't imagine that if the next head coach, Mike Vrabel or someone else, comes in and is like, I want my own offensive coordinator, then he's gone. So, yeah, this is, you know, two times in 2 years now you're going to be shuffling around and trying to interview everybody you possibly can and see what sticks.
We can also have a real discussion about Vrabel and how good he actually is.
Yeah.
You know, like, here's Mike Vrabel year over year in Tennessee. 2018, 9-7, missed the playoffs. 2019, 9-7, made the playoffs. 2020, 11-5, made the playoffs, lost in the first round. 2021, 12-win season, made the playoffs, lost in the first round, 7-10, 6-11, fired, last year out of coaching. He was an analyst in Cleveland. So
I still think it's net positive for me when I look at it.
Career record, 54-45, two playoff wins. They were in the same year when they went to the AFC title game in 2019. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a slam dunk by any means.
I think he is night and day different at the press conference.
True.
If you want to say that's one of the reasons why Mayo's gone, I think Vrabel's very comfortable in who he is.
Nothing,
he can control a room.
Nothing should surprise him. Like, a lot of the jobs seem to surprise Gerard Mayo.
Everything surprised Mayo. Yeah. And then, like, the next day, he was like, oh, I didn't mean what I just said there. Whereas I don't think you get that once with Vrabel. Vrabel probably just all season long, like, yeah, I said what I said, and I mean it. Let's go to the next thing. So that is completely different. I also give him a lot of credit. I mean, that's three playoff appearances there with Tennessee. His GM obviously wasn't great, trading away A.J. Brown for nothing. Like, that screwed him. And then he worked with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. So you could argue year two of Drake May might be better than any quarterback that he had. And how many good head coaches are there that never had a good quarterback? So I would still prefer Ben Johnson. Like, that's my pipe dream. But if Mike Vrabel's who you get next year, like, depending on who his offensive coordinator is, I could certainly talk myself into that.
One thing to bring up, and you just made the point about the quarterback. Text line is making it as well. It's a fair point. 617-779-7937. Which year did Vrabel have a functional QB? That's a good point. So Vrabel has that record and made the playoffs a bunch. It was really bad his last 2 years.
Yep.
But he had that record with Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota as his quarterback. So that's not great. Fair. I'm not sure we've said this yet. I think Billy had it in trending, but I don't think we've mentioned it. That Brian Daboll is back with the Giants. So if you were hoping,
I know
Vrabel Daboll,
yeah,
that's not an option. So it's
kind of surprising the Giants are keeping him. Even though
surprising.
I think he is a good coach, and like you saw what he was able to do with Josh Allen early in his career. But they're a mess. They're a better
surprising.
Pick than you.
So you said who does Vrabel bring with him? That's important. Yeah. Like who's the personnel guy? Mike Borgonzi has been with the Chiefs. I think he's a local guy. I want to say he's from Everett.
How about that?
He is interviewing with the Jets today. That's a guy who Vrabel overlap with in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you have guys you work with in Tennessee that you could give a look to. Tommy Rees sounds like...
Tommy Rees, the Notre Dame quarterback?
Yes, he's going to come from Cleveland because they were so good on offense last year.
What?
He's going to be your offensive coordinator.
They're the only offense worse than the Patriots.
I don't... Again, it's an upgrade on Mayo.
Yeah.
I would feel better about it than Mayo, but is it a slam dunk? Do I love it? I don't. And so we'll take your thoughts on Mike Vrabel. We'll take your thoughts on firing Gerard Mayo. Sounds like Elliott Wolf is going to survive here. Curran just doubled down on
that
earlier today on social media. And the number one pick, or lack thereof, as the Patriots screwed that up yesterday. We'll get to all of it here on Jones and Keith. A reminder, Robert Kraft scheduled to talk today at 1 o'clock to the media live from Gillette Stadium. You'll hear it here on Jones and Keith. So don't miss that. Let's start it off with Marcus in Roxbury. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the call. I got two quick points. I'm going to be real quick, man. Then I got a question. One, I think Gerard Mayo should be relieved today. Like, done. I think we're going to find out why Tennessee ran Mike Vrabel out of Tennessee because he got ran out of there. And also, Jones, I got a quick question for you. I wanted to know, what more do you think? Because I asked you recently about the Jaden Daniels Drake May thing, and you said that he had played better than Jaden Daniels. What more do you think Jaden Daniels could have did this year to perform better than Drake May? Thanks for taking the call. You guys are the best.
Yeah, man. Marcus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus.
Let me tell you, I don't think I said what he said, which is that May has outplayed Daniels. I don't think I said that. I think I would take...
You would take him. No, Daniels had the better year.
Yeah. So if I said that to him, then I misspoke. I don't remember saying that. What I believe I said was I'd take Drake May over Jaden Daniels, which I would have before the draft, and I still would today. That's all I said. Daniels clearly had a better year, and look, I think most people would take Daniels over Drake May. Did Vrabel get run out of Tennessee?
I don't know. They went 6-11 his last year.
Kinda. He was very complimentary of the Crafts.
Oh, that's right. There was that whole thing. Remember when he got inducted into the Team Hall of Fame?
Which
there was a lot
not,
of kissy-kissy. Yeah.
Which did not sit well with Amy Strunk.
Because he was saying how great the organization was. Like, he did lay it on pretty thick about what a first-class organization New England was.
And he went in the middle of their year on a bye week.
It wasn't
like some off-season thing or in the preseason. No, it was right in the middle of the year. You took a trip up to New England and were complimentary of the Crafts. So that's part of it, but he probably saw the writing on the wall.
And then remember there was that weird thing where Edelman was at like a Syracuse game and they were like FaceTiming each other?
I don't. You brought this up before the show.
Well,
I don't remember this.
It was Was it Edelman and Gronk? Nick, do you remember this? It was like a big to-do, and it was all around the same time and the, you know, what was going on. And then they were like FaceTiming Mike Vrabel. And you're like, what are they talking about? It was like a whole stupid
thing.
Seemed
like it was a done deal. He'd get the job.
Yes, yes.
No, and Vrabel clearly feuded with John Robinson over A.J. Brown, the GM in Tennessee at
the
time.
It was Brady and Edelman.
Oh, it was Brady and Edelman. That's what it was, not Gronk and I. It was Brady and Edelman, then they were FaceTiming in Vrabel.
Nice.
Very strange.
So, you know, I think Vrabel can rub some people the wrong way, but the Crafts are familiar with him.
Yeah.
And so that's a check. But the problem would be they were familiar with Gerard Mayo. We've said all year they need to get outside of their you know, their universe here in New England, the Bill Belichick universe. I don't think so either,
no.
But that to me would be the right approach, or at least go through a real process, an honest-to-goodness process, which none of us think they're going to do.
No, it seems like it's already going to be Vrabel. I saw Mike Giardi had another tweet. He talked to a half dozen league executives today who all believe it'll just be Vrabel to New England.
Okay. No. That's interesting. Again, yep. I'll reiterate Curran. He said it'd be way, way, way too presumptuous to assume right now, but Giardi spoke to how many?
I think it was half dozen.
Half dozen.
Also known as six.
Said Vrabel's,
yeah.
Vrabel's a done deal.
Half dozen does make this report seem better. Like, if I told you, hey, I talked to six guys, but I was like, hey, I talked to a half dozen guys.
Talked to a half dozen.
Like, holy smokes.
Not a baker's dozen.
No, no, no.
But a half dozen.
Half dozen guys.
That's true.
Or gals.
Barry's in New Bedford. Hello, Barry.
Yeah, Vrabel got fired from Tennessee because when they fired Robinson, Vrabel wanted to bring his own guy in for GM, and Chunk was against it, and that's what started this whole process of him getting booted. The Kraft thing had nothing to do with it. Quickly on Mayo getting fired, I think the downfall started the bye week in the Arizona game. Throwing Van Pelt under the bus, that's what started this down. And then you come out, you play a half against Buffalo, and then you get skunked by the Chargers at home, 40-7. That's what I think finally put the seal on the coffin for Mayo. As far as Vrabel goes, I think this is interesting. Vrabel has told people he wants to bring his own GM in any job he takes. So John Robinson and Mike Boragarzi have interviewed for the Jets. Both those guys are tied to Vrabel. So why is Elliott Wolf still here? So something else is going on here. I know they're saying Vrabel's a done deal. Maybe it is. But it sure sounds fishy that we have not heard Vrabel being gone.
So let me
people on the staff.
Let me say, Barry. Number one, I heard Phil on TV, Phil Perry, say the idea would be Wolf could stay on with the new coach. Vrabel brings in his personnel guy, and then they see if there's a fit moving forward with Wolf. He's kind of a dead man walking. So that could help explain it. My fear is they don't want to pay two head coaches and two GMs.
Yeah, could be a money thing.
So they're going to bring in the new coach. They're still paying Mayo, and they leave Wolf on for the job, which would be a mistake. But I think something like what the caller said is right. I think Barry's right. He was pretty safe until the bye week.
You said it, I didn't.
That comment, they were horrible against the Cardinals. Maybe he half saved his job in the game against the Bills. You got the Chargers game last week. I think his fate was sealed there. Here's what Curran wrote real quick on NBC Sports Boston. He said, in early December, when speculation about Mayo's job security began, a high-ranking team source was asked if the team could conceivably move on. He said, what are we talking about? Losing every game 90-0? Yeah, then I guess that would be a possibility.
Yeah.
That was the reply
they tried
Curran
against
got.
The Chargers.
So, yeah, if we lose every game 90-0, I guess he could lose his job. That was the tone. And it turns out he was basically fired before the game yesterday. Statements ready. They told Schefter before the game.
Yeah.
Everything. So a lot changed in December. I think Barry's roughly right about that.
If the season ended after the first Bills game, do you think he has his job?
Yeah.
He might. The Chargers game was so bad.
It was so
and
bad.
The fact that it was at home, like, it was so bad. And then, you know, Mike Vrabel kind of looming out there and then interviewing with the Jets. Like, that's obviously, to me, a huge factor. Like, I think they're sort of, you know, waiting on that part of it.
Do you have a problem with Vrabel bringing in a personnel guy?
No.
Me neither.
I think you want those guys to be in lockstep and not agree on every single thing, but you want those guys to at least be going in the same direction and not be fighting over players all the time. I think that's important in all sports. I also think the reason why Wolf, Van Pelt, Covington, every other coach is still here is, I mean, they're all under contract, and I also think you allow the next head coach to come in, and then he can even interview all those guys, and who knows, he might like a couple of them. So rather than like firing all of them, and then let's say they hire Mike Vrabel, and he's like, do you think Van Pelt will coach quarterbacks? And they're like, maybe, but we fired him. It's like, where, like, would you think so-and-so would coach safeties? Like, maybe, but we fired him. Like, I think you have to kind of wait on that.
So I misspoke earlier. I don't know that I know that I love the personnel guys Vrabel's attached to. Mike Borgonzi, though, is from Everett. I misspoke. I said they overlapped in Tennessee. I thought he spent time in Tennessee. He was in Kansas City when Vrabel was a player.
Oh,
so he's the Chiefs assistant GM. They've drafted very well over time. And so I'm much more interested in him than, you know, I don't think they'd run it back with John Robinson. But some of the other personnel guys he was attached to in Tennessee.
Robinson. No. I mean, that helped stop, you know, end things in Tennessee.
And I wouldn't want anyone from Tennessee's front office is my point.
No.
I wouldn't want that.
No.
617-779-7937. There's your number. You can also leave voice messages.
It's not the Weiner line.
A voice note on the Odyssey app. It's not the Weiner
app. Let's be clear about this.
Well, it's not the Weiner line. It is the Weiner app.
Weiner
is what it is.
Yeah, get in there.
Weiner app. You can leave them there. Just click on the microphone on the Odyssey app. They were having fun with that on the Greg Hill Show. You can leave those there as well. Plus all your phone calls. Let's get more into Elliot Wolf. Is he really staying? Number one. And number two. Keith referenced these comments from Wolf earlier today. They were over the weekend. He referenced it earlier today to Fox Sports. Let's get to those Wolf comments because he clearly was throwing Mayo under the bus. We'll do it next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
How's Gerard Mayo yesterday on some of the in-game decisions with personnel? Drake May plays a series, then he's out. Jelani Tavai bench for a quarter because he hates all of you out there, the fans.
Hates the fans.
Should he shouldn't have played a snap. Not to spend a lot of time on this today, but like that guy shouldn't have played at all. No. He shouldn't be on the team.
Well, I guess when he made a play, the PA announcer said he made a tackle or whatever, and the poll place booed.
Nice.
Wow. So like
that's what I saw.
So like 20% of the stadium booed.
Well, like, you know, the people who were there.
Fans.
The people who were in the house.
Nice.
That's pretty sweet.
I don't want to get sidetracked by that because we do have some news from Burt Breer.
All right. What do you got?
Burt Breer, source. The Patriots have put in a request to interview Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson for their head coaching job.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Like.
They're going to hire Vrabel.
It's going to be a sham interview. It's not going to be a real interview, but at least they are forced to do it. You have to do it. Because of the Rooney Rule, you have to do an interview process. I guess you don't have to interview Ben Johnson, per se, but you have to do the process. Good. Worst thing that happens is you talk to the guy, you get some ideas, and maybe you go into the meeting and go, wow, he's really interested in coming here. He really likes Drake May. Maybe we should think a little larger than just handing the job to Mike Vrabel, who was good in Tennessee, winning record, bunch of playoff appearances, went to the AFC title game, beat Bill and Brady in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do better, and we should think bolder than that. So that's good news. I'm not surprised by it, but that's according to Burt Breer. They have put in a request. Will he take the meeting? Will it go anywhere? We'll see. Mm-hmm. But that's a good start.
You know, and it's funny, because I've heard some people push back on Ben Johnson, who would be my number one choice if it was up to me.
Yeah, your 60-second plan. That's who you had, right?
1 minute, I fixed the Patriots, and it did involve them, I think, having the first pick, but regardless. Or maybe it didn't at the time, but it did have Ben Johnson. And anyway, some of the pushback I've seen is...
That actually was Wiggy, number one in Wiggy's plan, or at least one of his points was make sure you get the number one pick.
Or out the window.
I did not think about that with my plan. No. Stupid me.
I said draft Travis Hunter, which you still might, but let's get into that at another time. But one of the things I've seen as a pushback to Ben Johnson is, we just saw what a first-year head coach looks like. Are you scared to draft to bring in a first-year head coach? I say no.
Me neither.
First of all, every single coach ever has to be a first-year head coach at some point. That's how it works. But I also think Ben Johnson has been a coordinator for multiple years, something that Gerard Mayo wasn't. Ben Johnson has a very clear area of expertise, which Gerard Mayo didn't. You know, not every head coach does, right? Like Dan Campbell, which everybody wanted the Patriots to be, including Jelani Tavai. Dan Campbell didn't have one thing necessarily that was his thing, his calling card.
He's a leader of men.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, right? You don't want to run through a brick wall for him, that's fine. But Ben Johnson's out there making Jared Goff look like an MVP candidate. So, yeah, that's the guy that I want. Even though he's never been the head coach before, he's been an offensive coordinator. He loves calling plays. He was even asked about it this year. He's like, I will be a head coach who calls plays because that is my thing. That's what I love to do. So with him, the most important thing will be, all right, who's your defense coordinator? Because you have offense set. Like, you are going to come in here. You're going to run the offense. You now need to be you know, get somebody good to run the defense. Whereas if you hire Vrabel, okay, you know, you have a guy who's run an operation before. I think that'll be night and day different. But then the very first immediate question is who's running your offense?
Yeah, look, I think there's merit to bringing in a guy who's done it before because Mayo was so ill-prepared. But because Mayo was terrible at it doesn't mean another rookie head coach will be terrible.
Yeah, there's been plenty. We went through them during the year. There's plenty of examples of first-year head coaches being very good, turning franchises around right away.
Sean McVay was awesome right
immediately.
Away.
Immediately.
Right away, he was good. So that's not a personal fear of mine, but experience is a check mark in Vrabel's favor. One thing I will say about your 60-second plan, Keith, that I was very dismissive of, I was like, Ben Johnson won't look at the Patriots. He won't take that job. Wrong. I think Ben Johnson would consider the job here. That doesn't mean it's his number one choice, but I think I underestimated how much the Patriots have, quote-unquote, going for them. When you have a high draft pick and Drake May and a lot of money to spend in free agency, if you're a coach looking for a clean start, this is a place to do that. So I was too dismissive of Ben Johnson. I would love him as a hire, and maybe I overlooked that when we made our plans before. Elliot Wolf spoke with Henry McKenna, Fox Sports. Elliot Wolf, who reportedly is, still employed by the Patriots.
Yeah.
And according to Tommy Curran earlier today, let me just get this wording right again. He anticipates the personnel department getting more time to right the ship and fix the roster. So it sounds like the Wolfpack remains here, unfortunately.
So these quotes that you're about to rip through, I thought were fake.
Ready?
Yes.
Yeah, I read them.
I thought they were fake.
They could have been fake.
Did somebody get it would have been a good Voland on Twitter or something? Like, what happened?
Would have been a good who said it, if anybody knew what Elliot Wolf sounded like.
This is crazy. For a guy who, on a scale of A to F, a grading system of A to F.
Yeah.
Elliot Wolf's year one would be F.
F.
Plus. F plus.
Mayo is
Jack Drake May.
Mayo's an F or an F minus. Yeah. Wolf is an F or an F plus.
So let's get him thrown
D minus.
Let's throw. Yeah, that's a little might be generous.
Much too
Daron Harmon.
So he did acknowledge that the offensive line is, quote unquote, an area we're certainly going to look to improve.
Is that right?
That's a good acknowledgement.
You're not going to run it back with this line next year?
He says, we're 3-13. This is before the game.
Mm-hmm.
So not good enough. Let's start there. Wolf told Henry McKenna, Fox Sports.
Okay.
We had a lot of needs. I would say that, I guess, personally, what I was expecting maybe a little bit more internal development. I was expecting maybe a little bit more internal development.
What a line. Basically, the coaching was trash.
Basically, I gave him good players, and the coach didn't know what to do with
them. Well, two things. He starts by ripping Belichick by being like, we had a ton of holes to fill. Mm-hmm. Like, you were also a part of the staff.
We had a lot of needs.
A lot of needs. So, like, I took over a horrible situation, which you were also a part of.
You were in personnel.
Correct. So we had a horrible situation. That's out of my hands. I thought the coaching would be better, right? Like, that's insane. Like, okay.
He said, I thought there would be a little bit more internal development. Yep. It's a good lesson, certainly heading into next year.
Sure it is.
And that you can't always rely on that. So again, you can't rely on these
coaches.
The rookie receivers didn't have it really that much for us. Yeah, I guess not.
They didn't really have it that much. No, they did not.
And you know, Jalen Polk was sort of, in our estimation, a plug and play.
Amazing.
Ultimately, to answer your question, our record speaks for itself. We didn't do enough. But there you go. He still thinks Jalen Polk got ruined by the coaches.
No, but he says we didn't do enough. There's no him in there. There's no I in there.
No,
so basically,
true.
I took over a bad situation. The coaches were bad and the players were bad. Throw Jalen Polk on there. That's a cherry on top. We had bad players, bad coaches, and it was a bad situation. What about you?
Yeah.
What are you? You didn't say anything about yourself.
It's a little scary that he might survive.
He
should be out. So I would have fired Mayo. Mayo deserves to get fired.
Wolf should be gone.
So does this guy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so does our guy Van Pelt, Covington. Like, they all should get fired. Not firing all of them to me makes no sense.
It was a rough year.
It was pretty bad. There's no reason to bring any of these guys back.
It was a tough go.
Clean slate. Blow it up. I hope. They're just keeping Wolf around for appearances in the meantime. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Until they bring in a new head coach, he brings in a personnel guy, and then they blow out Wolf then. But he should absolutely lose his job. And that is a weasel comment by Elliot Wolf. I inherited a bad situation. I thought the coaches would coach these guys up more. Jalen Polk was plug and play. The coaches screwed it up. That's embarrassing. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on Elliot Wolf, his future. Mike Vrabel, is he the next guy? Gerard Mayo, blown out by the Patriots. Was it the right move? And was it because they screwed up the number one pick yesterday? Let's get into that with all your phone calls next.